All right, so if you have your Bibles, open to Matthew chapter 28. So Matthew chapter 28. Stand with me if you're able to, please. Again, this is Baptism Sunday, so it's an abbreviated service. Normally, we're going through the book of Galatians. Come back next Sunday. We should be in there, hopefully. And today, though, we're going to be talking about baptism. All right, so Matthew chapter 28, we're picking up right at verse 18. I'll leave it here. Matthew 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Father, we thank you. Thank you for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, that this passage that we just read is what the church calls the Great Commission. You had authorized us, commanded, commissioned the church to be on a mission. And it's not a mission for missions, it's a mission to make disciples. Certainly Matthew Levi, who quoted you, him being a disciple, he understood that you spent time with him, you helped to develop him, almost 3 years roughly. He knew that he had to pass that on, this ending command of this book. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us to understand your word. Speak to each of us, Lord. We confess to you we're sinners. Jesus, you are Savior who died on the cross. We want to repent and turn away from that old life because you give us a new beginning, a new life, a new hope through you. So help us to follow forward with you, but empower us by your Spirit. Help us to learn your word. Speak to each and every heart that's here, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. And so again, today's a little different because we are on Baptism Sunday. That's today. Today is going to be an abbreviated service. Looking at the clock, trying to end about 11:30. And then we're going to head to the beach and we'll unpause and we'll continue the service on this hand. So today, I want to talk to you about, and you'll see here on the page, going to go through a couple things here. You can read the whole thing later on, but baptism is part of your discipleship process. And as we illustrate here with our vision for you, for this church, and for you, each and every one of you, we want you first to get saved. Amen? The whole world needs salvation through Jesus Christ. Amen? Simply, and you can see it here, do you believe you're a sinner? Anybody here believe they're a sinner? All right. Doesn't end there. We believe that Jesus Christ is a Savior who died on the cross for your sins. It's not just you're a sinner and Jesus died, or some guy named Jesus died on a cross. You got to bridge that gap. He died for your sins. He's your Savior for your sins. Amen? We believe that? Okay, and believing, receiving that, you have to turn away. You have to repent. Not a 360. 360s are good in surfing. 360s are good in skateboarding. 360s no bueno with Christianity, right? Amen? 180. Heading away, running away from Jesus, heading towards hell. There's that highway to hell, right? There's no stairway to heaven except through Jesus Christ. So I'm an ex-DJ, sorry. Might quote some songs. But you got to turn away. And the Bible talks about repentance toward God. So we want to follow him, and that's why we gather here. But even as we illustrate here, baptism is not just a one-off. Some of you guys, I know your backgrounds. You came out of a thing where maybe you got baptized as a baby. Does that count? No. You know what we call that? What do we call that? Baby shower. That's a baby shower. That's not real baptism. Because can a baby confess that they're sinners? No. Notice this again in Matthew 28, the Great Commission from Christ. And I'll put it on this screen here. He says, all authority. He gives authority, and this is the church's Great Commission. He authorizes the church to do what? To make disciples. And disciple is a follower. And notice I put here on the screen, the authority is to make disciples, not to make money and not to make members. And sadly, that's where Satan has got many churches and groups. We at Calvary Chapel, we don't know how many people. Why? That's not our job. So we're not going to force you into a, you know, membership where you got to sign. Where sadly, that can be taken, and legalistically, people can be forced, coerced into giving. And some even go so far as, let me see your tax statements. Let me see how much, because you got to give 10%. No, that's evil. We don't want to do that. Why? Because if you belong to God, you're bought at a price, the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? you belong to him. So he's the one that needs to convict you, not me. I just need to preach forth God's word of truth. And he takes care of me. I don't know how he does it. Where God guides, God provides. And he's always done that with us. So the church's great commission, notice, it's not to make money. It's not to make members. It's to make what? Disciples. Disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. So a disciple, what is that? A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a follower. You and I want to follow Jesus Christ. Now we need human beings to follow. Okay? But ultimately you follow Christ. Amen? I want to be like Paul, and I can say, I want to say, pray for me. And we all need to say, as born again, spiritual Christians, follow me as I follow Christ. So if you're following a decision, you look at a decision I make or anybody else makes, it's like, nah, that's not of God. Don't follow that. Amen? Follow me as I follow Christ. So a disciple, that's a learner, that's a follower. You and I are to make disciples. You're authorized. The church is authorized. The church is not the building. Jesus didn't die for the place. He died for the people. Amen? So the church is the people. Whether we gather in the parking lot, at Arby's, Starbucks, by the water cooler at your job, wherever you are, as the church, as a member, we don't have a membership. Why? Once you're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, you're a member of the body of Christ, the church, capital C, globally. Wherever you are, that's you in Christ. But guess what? People don't automatically follow Jesus Christ. And we all have a background. I know for myself, for years, I had dozens of questions, bazillion questions. I didn't know how to ask even. And it wasn't until God put certain people in my life that helped mentor me and disciple me and pour into my life and answer the bazillion questions. I probably tormented them. What about this? What about that? And it was a valid question. I just didn't know. I was really confused. And if that's where some of you are, then praise God. We need discipleship. We need to help each other. So people don't automatically follow Jesus Christ. Anybody here ever born as a baby? Trick question. Look, a couple people were. We all were, right? And some of us have babies. We actually have a couple babies here. Now, babies don't automatically know how to feed themselves, how to change themselves. They need what? Discipleship, okay? We call it in our society parenting, parented. They don't get born and then they give the mom and dad a box of diapers, some baby form there, and you say, here you go. What do? Just, you know, send the kid out on the sidewalk. They got a box of diapers, some formula. They'll be cool. Okay? Doesn't work that way. So why is it that we can't raise our children that way? And with God's children, it's similar. Okay? Just like when you have a baby, it's all about food. You go to the doctor, they weigh the child. Something's wrong. The baby's losing weight. Are they eating? No, they're colicky. They cry all the time. They throw up. It's all about food, right? Are they taking in food? Are they processing food? And in the processing of spiritual food, the Bible, God's word, there's going to be messes, just like with babies, right? How many diapers do you guys think? Can't count. You're like a whole landfill, right? So there's a lot. So people don't automatically follow Jesus. We need to be taught how to follow. We need help. And that's what the church is to be about. And not just to gather a lot of people and collect Christians. That will happen, God willing. And look, he's done that here. How does he do that? I don't know. We still never ask for money. We just pray. God, bring people in that are hungry for your word. That's it. So if people come in and they don't want Jesus and they don't want the Bible, it's like, you can go somewhere else. You want entertainment? Fine, go somewhere else. But that's not here. Now, how does God do it? I don't know. Okay? So we want to be a collective of Christians, a fellowship, a family, that could simply say, Jesus did a work. How does he do it? I don't know. He gets the honor, praise, and glory. Not me, not us. Amen? So how does he do it? Well, he wants us to be about the Great Commission, to make disciples. So you and I need to know, just like babies in your family, children of God, in the family of God, in the church, they don't automatically follow Jesus. We need help. We need to answer questions. And please don't think I'm the only one. If you're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, you got God himself. The only God, who's a very mature God that helps not only you, but through you, you could help someone else that's just like you. Amen? That's how he does it. Okay? What else? Notice this, that if you ask the question that I did, okay, make disciples, how do you do that? I love this. I love the Lord Jesus. It's answered within the context. He tells us immediately right after, make disciples, he says, of all the nations. And he tells you how to do it. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So baptism typically is seen as a first step in how you, as a born-again Christian, would follow Jesus as Lord. He's Savior for your sins. Who here has Jesus as Savior for your sins? Okay, if you repent, you're going to turn somewhere. You're going to follow someone or something. How many of you guys know that? I remember as a teenager, as a kid, and in my early 20s growing up in California, if I didn't attach myself to the people of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ himself, I would fall back right into gambling, into whatever it was. Like, think of all the stupid things you could fill in the blank with. That was me. So you need to, as the Bible says, repent towards God. And the Bible shows that baptism is typically a Christian's first step in not just having Jesus as Savior for their sins, but following him as the Lord of our lives. So Jesus tells us how you make disciples. He says the first thing, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, and you can go through this paper later on. We answer all kinds of questions. It's part of your process, your discipleship process. Again, let me just show you here. That's why graphically we want to show it's not an end-all. Because some people, especially if you grew up in a system where baptism was just this huge event. You know, baby's first baptism, baby's first communion. And it's a little baby. The parents make a big deal out of it, right? The family makes a big deal out of it. But the baby, they didn't know what's happening. They just cried, I'm hungry, change my diapers. Okay, it's not an end all. It's part of your discipleship process. We want to disciple you to help you to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a learner of the Lord. It's part of the process. After that, what happens? Typically, just like with Christ, and you can read on the sheet, why did Jesus get baptized? Well, he was fulfilling the law. You'll hear people say things like, oh, he had to identify with us. I've heard that a bunch of times. Read your Bible, and you actually see that the Old Testament, the priests, they had to wash. I think it's Exodus 30. It's on the page here. Yeah, they had to wash before they would sacrifice or serve in what was called the tabernacle. Later on, through Solomon, became the first temple, and then the second temple. And then that was the one that was there at the time of Jesus. So to prove that Jesus is our great high priest, not just a priest, not just a high priest, but your great high priest, he came, Matthew 3, he came to John the Baptist. And no, we're not talking about a denomination called Baptist. We call him John the Baptist. He came to him, and John the Baptist is like, yo, you should be baptizing me. And what did Jesus tell him? You can see it here on the paper. He says, permit it at this time, for in this way, in this manner, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So because he says that one word righteousness, as a Jew, you would have to jettison back to Torah, the first five books of the Bible. What is he fulfilling? What is Jesus fulfilling within Torah, within God's law? That to be a priest, this priest had to wash before he would serve or sacrifice. So who here has heard of Jesus doing, you know, all sorts of miracles? Maybe healing a bird. There's all these fanciful stories, these fables. Anybody hear those things? Fake. You know why? Because Jesus, according to the book of Luke, he was baptized at what age? He wasn't a baby? Are you kidding me? There's tons of groups that will baptize babies. And yet Jesus never baptized babies. He himself was 30, right? He's 30 years old. The disciples, the apostles in the New Testament, they also didn't baptize babies. So why they do that? It's because Satan's smart. Okay, he tries to trick you and I. Don't go for it. So baptism is something that you and I do in following Jesus as Lord. We want to obey Christ's command in the Great Commission to baptize, to help you to be a follower of Jesus. Part of your process. It's not the end. You don't just go, hey, baby's first baptism, you know, and celebrate that, take pictures and all that kind of stuff. And some people make it a really huge thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some make it a really huge thing. It's not. Again, that's a baby shower. Okay, that's not a baptism. Because a baby can't say, I'm a sinner, I repent for my sins, Jesus is my Savior, I now want to follow him. So we're going to keep this short. Notice this. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. So the Great Commission is to make disciples. We're going to have to end here in just a bit. Again, you can read the rest here. Baptism is part of your discipleship process, but baptism is also a symbol of death. Death. Death to the flesh. Here's what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. Buried with him, notice in your Bible it's capital H. That speaks of Jesus. Speaks of deity. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So Christians have been, Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. I'm dead. You need to consider yourself a walking dead man, a walking dead woman, so to speak. But who do you live for? Jesus Christ, amen? Because he gave you a new life, a new beginning, a new hope. Pray for those that are going to be baptized. Okay, they need help. They need love. They need encouragement. They need support. And notice in Colossians 2:20, not just crucified with Christ, it says we're buried with him in baptism. So baptism speaks of a death. Some people say, I've heard others say this at a baptism, welcome to my funeral. You're alive and you're welcoming people to your funeral. What is it? A death to the old self. Like the caterpillar of old becomes a butterfly. Metamorphosis, a transformation. So it's a picture of that. Baptism doesn't get you saved, though. Baptism is for the saved. Amen? So again, it's part of your process. You first got to get saved. And after salvation, this is why you don't do baby baptism. After getting saved, it could be that same day, but at some point after getting saved, then you get baptized. Because now Jesus is not just Savior for your sins. You want to declare publicly and openly that he's the Lord of your life. So Christians are not just crucified with Christ, buried with him in baptism. Notice again in Colossians 2:12, it's here on the screen on the display also. Raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So we celebrate saying bye-bye to the old life. Bye-bye. Welcome to my funeral, some people say. But also, we get to celebrate new life through Jesus Christ. Hey, when one soul gets saved, you get an indication that all of heaven breaks out in some kind of a big part. Like, ah, isn't that awesome? I wish I could see into that and hear. There's no YouTube video of that. I wish we had that. But if so, it wouldn't require much faith then. It's like, hey, check out these angels, right? So you and I have to have faith. So this picture, it's a picture of a burial to your old self under the water and then rising anew. It's a picture. It doesn't get you saved. It's for the saved. It's a good memory to have. And no, some people ask, no, it's not a matter of how much sin you have that we hold you underwater for that much time. Because if it were me, I'd be under for, I don't know, a couple hours. Really dead. Not just dead to the old life. Really dead. But it's a picture of your old self being buried under the water and the person rises anew empowered by God's Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's all stand, please. We're going to close now. And again, this is an abbreviated service. We're going to pause on the service here. For those that are coming with us south to the sand, for those coming, we have t-shirts to give out. You can see Miss Eileen or Letitia. They'll hand them out for those going that registered. And bring some food. You want to come out. If anybody's bringing bananas, that could be good too. Okay, why? Because like potassium, you don't want to cramp up if you hit the cold water. But come out with us, pray for those being baptized, and we can celebrate new life through Jesus Christ together. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Baptism Sunday. Thank you for teaching us these things, Lord. We want to baptize those obeying your command, Lord, in the Great Commission. You authorize us to make disciples. You tell us how. You say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you say, teaching them. We want to baptize them. We want to teach them. They need help moving forward. So we know baptism doesn't end it all. It's kind of the start of this new life where they move forward, declaring you as not just Savior for their sins, but as the Lord of their life now. So help them to keep repenting away from the past, walking in and celebrating this new life through Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those of us that have already gone through these things, already declared you as Savior, already declared you as Lord of our lives, already been baptized, Lord, we ask that you would empower each of us mightily, that we would learn how we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. We could learn what spiritual gifts that you've given to each of us, because you got a call on our life, each and every one of us. Help us with that, God. Protect each of us. Protect us as we travel down south to the beach, that we can continue the service on the sand, that we would do all these things for your glory and yours alone, for we ask and pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.